This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Monday here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM, which means we have Monday Night Football.
Maybe it won't be the closest of games, or that's what the odds makers are thinking. The Chiefs are 11.5-point home favorites against the Commanders, but maybe we can find some plays, because listen, when the game isn't close, that's when betting steps in. You're like, hey, let's make this game a little interesting. Then at 7:20, we go on to Game 3 of the World Series, which I think will be very interesting. Dodgers big favorites against the Blue Jays, but this series is tied at one game apiece, and we've counted out the Blue Jays before, and their bats have come through in a big way. We'll see what Max Scherzer can give us in deep breath. What could possibly be his final postseason game of his career? I'm hoping it's not the case, but we know Mad Max, you know, he's getting up there. He's getting a little long in the tooth. Does he have one more in him? We will see tonight against the Dodgers. All right, Jenks, vibe check for Commanders fans there in D.C. Because, listen, you guys are coming off a great season where Jane Daniels led you guys, you know, to an incredible turnaround of a franchise. But this year, it feels like there's been a lot of injuries. So I don't feel like it's one of those things where you're like, oh, well, the team's crumbling, you know, as far as a franchise goes. It just feels like it's been kind of an unlucky season. Mm-hmm. How are fans feeling about this team?
Well, they don't feel great. There's no question about that. I think it's pretty understood, or it's pretty obvious, that the magic that this team experienced last season, that's just not going to happen this year. And there's multiple reasons for that. Part of it is the injury bug. Jaden's not going to play tonight. Scary Terry is back for the first time in 4 weeks, but Debo was out last week. They've never had the full complement of receivers that they expected to have at the beginning of the season with Noah Brown now on IL. The defense, I think, is really the big storyline here, where they just haven't been able to stop anyone. And when Dan Quinn comes out and says everything is on the table and you're not quite sure what's going on schematically or what the issue is, when the head coach is saying we have to examine everything, it's not a great sign. So I think ultimately what's going on, if you're part of the fan base, is you're trying to push back that feeling that you got every year before last year, which is, oh my God, here we go again. Oh my God, here we go again. There's so much PTSD that is just sort of ingrained in this fan base because of the Dan Snyder era. I don't think that's where we are now, but it's just hard to push that aside because that's all many of these fans have known for two decades, really.
I also feel like, even though it is a one-year sample size, and you're right, like over the course of Commanders fans, like, you know, 10-year window, it's been a lot of struggle. But I think when people have a team that's young and gets to a high level like the Commanders did last year, it's very easy to sit there and say, oh, well, we'll be back next year. You know, we'll be back every single year. And it's just not the way the NFL works with all the injuries. And sometimes it's just bad luck. And sometimes you just don't execute to that level where you remember all the close games that the Commanders won last year. Sometimes those aren't going to go your way. every single time. So it's one of those sad things where it's like, okay, you'd think, you know, in Jaden Daniels' first year that, you know, the sky would be the limit after this. You can't assume that the team is going to get better every single year.
No, you just can't. That's not really the way the NFL works. Now, did I think things were going to trend in a more positive direction than they have? Yeah, absolutely. I did not anticipate Jaden being out. I did not anticipate all the injuries at receiver. I thought the defense would be much improved, but now we're seeing that this is an older team and a team that does have some schematic issues, and I don't want to say it's going to be a lost season, but it's certainly not trending in the way that we thought. So there's still some hope there, but the Commanders are in a very precarious position, which is, do we try to make a move here and maybe make a run, or do we say this isn't really going the way we thought it was going to go? Maybe we should be sellers at the deadline. They have some decisions to make.
Yeah, we have some decisions to make when it comes to this game. So, Jenks, tonight, Commanders at the Chiefs tonight. Chiefs now 11-point favorites, total of 48. And I looked at this game for a long time from a prop standpoint. And honestly, this was a tough one for me to crack, because usually I'm like, all right, I'll find some props. But it's tough to go against teams like the Chiefs for this reason. And I feel like this is something you don't really think about on the surface, is that they're a team that can really control the time of possession. And as somebody who has bet on teams like against, like I was watching the Eagles game yesterday and I had, you know, a player on the Giants side of the ball and Wandale Robinson, it's just the Eagles just hold on to the ball. It's like, oh, another first down, another first down. And you think to yourself, oh my God, are they ever going to get the ball? So that kind of feels like the case, what I'm going to see from the Chiefs tonight, with the Chiefs offense trending the way that it is and the Commanders defense trending the way that it is. So from a side standpoint, I said, okay, maybe no props, maybe we'll go with a side. 11 points, though, I feel like even when it's the worst team in the NFL, besides maybe my Titans, 11 points is a lot in the NFL. And remember, before, you know, the blowout of the Raiders, the Chiefs were one of those teams that let a lot of teams kind of hang around. If you think over like the last 3 years, even when the Chiefs were winning Super Bowls, sometimes they let teams just kind of hang around. So I'm stuck on that one too. A total of 48. I can totally see the Chiefs scoring some points here. But their defense is really good, especially in the red zone. So I don't know how much the Commanders are going to score. I'm just running into all kinds of roadblocks when it comes to betting on this game. Did you find something that you particularly like?
Well, I do like the Commanders getting points here. I feel like this is your classic overreaction to what we've seen in just a week, right? So you saw the Chiefs blow out the Raiders. They're shutting out Vegas. They look incredible. They look like the Kansas City team that we saw form a dynasty and win Super Bowls. And then conversely, we saw the Commanders play their rivals in the Cowboys and couldn't do anything right. Now it was a blowout. Now it was ugly. And those were two very extreme outcomes, I feel like. And because of that, I think this number is way too big. Remember, last week on this show, this number was sitting at Kansas City minus 12.5. So this number has shortened a point and a half in the last few days. So I think the Commanders are the right side. But for the reasons you mentioned that we were talking about with all the issues with Washington, it does make me worry a little bit. But at the end of the day, Marcus Mariota, who will start for Jaden Daniels tonight, is a very good backup quarterback as far as backup quarterbacks go. Deebo Samuel's back. Terry McLaurin is back. He will have more weapons than this team has had in recent weeks, and I think that is enough for the Commanders to keep it close. But yes, this is a tough one.
Yeah, it's not my favorite props-wise, because the problem with sometimes with these Chiefs props is that good quarterbacks are fully capable of spreading the ball around. Like, the best look for props in fantasy football is a quarterback who looks at one receiver or two receivers. We're like, hey, these are my dudes. And the Chiefs certainly have, like, some front runners for that. But, you know, it's not going to shock me if it's, you know, one of the three guys where it's Rashee Rice, whether it's Xavier Worthy, whether it's Travis Kelce, and some of the numbers on some of these receivers are actually pretty low. And I thought to myself, okay, if we get in blowout potential, maybe the Chiefs aren't going to throw the ball, but Patrick Mahomes has been chucking it as far as like some of these attempts go. Because I saw his attempts in this, and I think it's like 34.5. And I was like, that's really high for a game that they're probably going to win pretty easily. But if you look at all the games this year, he's gone over this in every single one. That one game against the Lions, and he still threw it 30 times. So I think just from a logic standpoint, you say, okay, that's what I would key in on is maybe some receivers for the Chiefs, simply because you know Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball quite a bit. So I think, you know, that's what I would lean towards, but I don't know. I don't really like anything there. I guess you could look towards anytime touchdowns if you think that the Chiefs are going to be scoring at will. But you know how I feel about anytime touchdown bets. Like, they're not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Mahomes could be a good look. I think he's 3-1 to score a touchdown. Maybe you can find some value there. But Jenks, was there anything else that stood out to you when it comes to betting on this game?
The only thing I will say, I don't want to bet a total at all. I have no idea about the total. I do lean Commanders getting the points here. I got it yesterday. I put a sprinkle on it yesterday. 11.5. Sure. Why not? The prop I do like, and we've seen this number go up in a big way, is the rushing yardage total for Marcus Mariota. He can run. It's just that when you think of Jaden Daniels, he's a superior runner, but he's a superior runner compared to most any quarterback in pro football. But Marcus can run, and I feel like when you think about the Chiefs' defense and how much they like to blitz, because that's what Spags does, right? He's going to put pressure on you, pressure on you, pressure on you. Marcus can run, and I think there's going to be a chance for him to get out of the pocket and gobble up some yards here. So I'm going to try to find the right number, but I'm going to be on his rushing prop.
Yeah, it's 28.5 currently at BetMGM. Juicy over at -120. I think when you're talking about teams that are kind of, I don't want to say desperate, but like in the losing game script of whatever equation you're thinking about, that's usually when we see quarterbacks take off and run. Because think about it. If you're winning a game by like 3 touchdowns, your face of your franchise quarterback, like thinking about Patrick Mahomes, probably not going to risk it all for his rushing prop. But I will say this, Patrick Mahomes has averaged over 35 yards a game on the ground. His rushing prop tonight is 22.5, if anyone is interested in that. But again, I think game script could be the problem. But he has hit this in 3 straight games, 28, 32, and 60 rushing yards against the Jags. It should be noted that was a loss. So again, game script does matter here. But what do we think is going to be the takeaway from this game? Do you think after this game we're going to sit here and say the Chiefs look like the best team in the AFC? Or do you think it's one of those things where the Chiefs could revert back to the mean where it's like, okay, here comes the inconsistency from the Chiefs, or they just barely squeak by? What do you think is the big story that we will be talking about tomorrow?
Well, I want to be wrong, but I feel like this story we're going to be talking about tomorrow is, man, Chiefs look like they could win the Super Bowl again. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. But the Chiefs have 2 things going for them. Number one is they're healthy, as we know. Like, once they got Rashee Rice, and I know it was against the Raiders, didn't that just elevate everything? Where they were just kind of middling and saying, just wait until Patrick gets his full complement of weapons back. First it was Xavier Worthy, then Rashee Rice, and then boom, it's just wheels up. Let's drive these dudes into the ground. And that's what they did. They looked incredible. And so also when you're the Chiefs, in a desperation spot when they had to have that win against the Lions, what happened? They looked dominant. They looked incredible. The Chiefs knew after that slow start, while most teams couldn't recover from that, they could. And not only did they recover, they looked as good as they have all season. And then they get that weapon back to take them to the next level. They look as good as they've looked all season. And I really don't expect that to change tonight.
Ho-hum.
I know.
Here come the Chiefs, just in time. I'm re-looking at some of these props, and I do think maybe you could make a case for Rashee Rice over his receptions, because when he returned to the Chiefs, I thought to myself, oh, you play, you know, his receiving yards over. He got 10 targets in that game against the Raiders, but only had 42 yards. So I don't know how much of these routes he's going to be running where he's down the field, but I do think the catches are going to be there. So right now his receptions is set at 5.5, the over juiced at -150. I still think Patrick Mahomes is glad to have him back on the roster, and he's going to look his way a lot. And again, when you have a quarterback who's averaging like 35 attempts per game, you're going to get a lot of opportunity to get the receivers involved. Jenks, I want to ask you this about the Commanders' receivers, because there is some volatility when you're trusting a backup quarterback, but the game script should be good for some of these receivers and the fact that the Commanders might be playing from behind. What do we expect from Terry McLaurin tonight? Because obviously we know he has super high-end potential, but you know he hasn't been exactly healthy. His number tonight is 43.5 receiving yards. Could you make a case for playing the over there, or do you say maybe you don't touch this one?
Doesn't it just seem low? That's the thing that gets me. I looked at that. I'm like, scary Terry. Now, I will say, before he got injured, he wasn't exactly super dynamic, you know, and he signed that massive contract in the offseason, as we know. I will say the one thing that makes me feel better is if you watch the drills from earlier this week, he looks great, and he himself says, okay, I feel great. Because sometimes you'll see guys force themselves back, and they're not quite 100%. Like, I absolutely don't think Deebo Samuel's 100%. He sat out last week with his heel issue. He's just managing pain at this point. Terry had to get right, and watching him in drills running these routes, he said, okay, once I could run routes and make these cuts, then all of a sudden I knew, okay, I can do this. I'm ready to go. So listening to him and watching him, it's not just a guy who's forcing himself back in the action early. This is a low number. Deebo is banged up. I think Terry could be due for a breakout night, at least compared to what we've seen earlier this year.
Yeah, and I do think when you talk about backup quarterbacks, those are the quarterbacks more likely to throw to, like, the star receivers. You know, because they're not trying to do too much. They're like, listen, we are throwing to the guys who get paid a lot of money, and it doesn't make me feel great that Deebo Samuel is not 100%. So it feels like it's one of those two guys that's going to have at least some receiving yards because you're playing in a negative game script. So maybe it's going to be a big scary Terry night, at least when it comes to receiving yards. Coming up next, Game 3 of the World Series. It should be a good one. Who has the edge, Mad Max in Toronto or Tyler Glasnow on the Dodgers? It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, we're back on a Monday, October 27th. In a few minutes, we'll get to our favorite plays in Game 3 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. But, Jenks, first, a very happy sports equinox to you. Did you know that all four major professional sports leagues are playing games tonight? This is something that we only experience usually in October because we have, obviously, the World Series and Major League Baseball going on. We have Monday Night Football. We have hockey's going on now, and the NBA, which I know we're still kind of looking at them with a suspicious eye, but we do have all four sports to be betting and to be watching tonight. So soak it in. There was once a time in our lives where, remember COVID, and we didn't have any sports, and they canceled March Madness. We're like, this is the worst. Well, now we are on the mountaintop, my friends. This is the absolute best.
Here's my impression of me during COVID. You ready? Man, there's no sports going on right now. This sucks.
Oh, this is the biggest story.
Oh, wait, hold on. Here's my phone's ringing. Maybe it's a friend. Oh, it's my divorce lawyer. This just keeps getting worse. I could really use some sports right now. No. So it's great to have everything back. You know, it's awesome. Thank you for wishing me well on the sports equinox.
Yes, I knew you needed it. But it's crazy because I know a lot of people are super dialed into all these sports. I will say for me, it's mostly just the World Series and Monday Night Football. Like, that's, you know, the pinnacle. Because, like, you know, I'm not into hockey. Yeah. And again, like, do you have this feeling about the NBA right now that I think a lot of casual fans have? To where you're like, I'm kind of suspicious of you and your players. We'll see how this all turns out. And I understand, like, the top players in the sport are not, you know, probably involved in any of this when it comes to, like, the gambling scandals and stuff. It just, I don't know. Like, I see the promos and I, like, kind of smirk a little bit. You know, where they're trying to, like, pump up the league and you're like, you're kind of burying the lead there, NBC.
Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to this NBA game tonight. Have you guys been playing poker before the game? You know, I don't know. Can I trust you guys? I think ESPN is pumping it up, too. I woke up this morning and my phone was just like,
they always do.
Cooper Flagg arrives! Cooper Flagg arrives! And I was like, okay. And it was a nice dunk. And it was just like a one. It was nice. It was really good dunk. But it was like, oh my God, I got to see. This is one for the ages. But no, he just comes down the court and he dunks over, you know, remember the Wizards. And okay. I was like, all right. But it's like, don't forget about us. Don't forget about us. The NBA, we like to dunk. And don't you worry about any sort of wagering.
Well, yeah, the ESPN is always pimping the NBA, though. Like, I feel like it could be, like, the biggest deal in the World Series. And it's just, like, two little sentences. Ohtani has three home runs, and he struck out some people. But what's next for the Timberwolves? And I'm like, it's the second day of the season. Like, come on. So that's the thing with the NBA for me is that I like the NBA.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes the regular season just doesn't have the same appeal to me. And I will say the first two games of the season, we had some great games. So maybe I'm a little off base there. But it just doesn't have the same gravity as these postseason games, obviously in the World Series. And even like Monday Night Football games, where in the NFL, we know each week holds a ton of weight.
Oh, yeah. And also when it's tough to, because it's early, you know, like it's super early.
Yeah.
I feel that way about the NBA all the time. And I know there's some hoop heads out here and they have a lot of friends who are super into basketball. And I totally get it because I love the NBA. But right now, my attention span can only go to so many areas, right? I'm like, we're in the middle of college football season. We're in the middle of the NFL. Hockey just got underway. There's all these tangential stories like the whole sports betting issues and the poker playing that we saw last week that just came to fruition. And then there's the World Series. So pardon me if I'm not all over, you know, Hornets Wizards this early in the season. It's just going to take some time.
I think the funniest thing I saw when I was watching ESPN the other day is I think it was like after the second game of the season and they put Golden State Warriors 92% chance to reach the playoffs. I'm like, well, yeah, they've won their games. It's two games into the year, so like, let's pump the brakes on the playoff percentage. But we do have Game 3 of the World Series tonight, and you know I'm gonna be locked and loaded for this, especially because if you're romantic about baseball at all, this has the storyline for you. Max Scherzer making a start for the Blue Jays, which a lot of people are speculating that this could be his last career start of somebody who has had a Hall of Fame career and the ultimate competitor. And we saw last time around, he hadn't pitched in a month. And then he did the stare down to John Snyder's like, I'm not coming out of this damn game. So it's not going to shock me if we see another one of those. But if you look at the numbers, I think this is the tough part because both of us had our start in journalism, and now we're in betting. And journalism, you root for good stories. But in betting, you root for the numbers. And you're like, hey, what's something I can depend on that is backed up by data and right. stats. And I think that's the tough part of this game because, Jenks, I'm looking at these bets, and the one bet that stood out to me last night, I was looking at these, and this number has already changed. Max Scherzer outs recorded was set at 11.5. So the books are thinking, you know, he's only going to go four innings? I understand that this Dodgers lineup is really tough. But, like, again, like, if you have the confidence in Max Scherzer to throw him out there, I think you're going to keep him in. And plus, he ain't coming out. So if you are romantic again about baseball at all, you say, okay, Max Scherzer has one more left in him. He's going to be decent because last time around, it's not like he was lights out. He was absolutely battling. He walked four batters. He gave up a couple runs. But he did go five innings. And he gave the Blue Jays a chance to win, and they won that game. So I don't know. I look at that bet, and I keep looking at it, and the juice has increased. It was minus 155 last night. Now it's minus 170. Over at BetMGM, it's already flipped to 12.5. So I do think a lot of this game hinges on what we expect and what we'll see from Max Scherzer.
I think it will, too. And I, you know, this is one of those things. It's a good lesson in betting, which is you have to strip emotions out of your bet. And if you're going to bet on something, it's like betting on your favorite team, right? Can you really look at this subjectively, like truly through an objective lens? You know, being objective in betting when you care about a particular player or you care about your particular team is tough to do. And I say that because when it comes to Max, I mean, he's a Nationals legend, right? He led us to a World Series. He was incredible. He's an otherworldly competitor. He's so likable. He never wants to come out of games. You say Mad Max here in D.C., and people get jacked like, oh, Max Scherzer. I love Max Scherzer. And I love Max Scherzer. At the same time, he is, what, 41 now? And he was spectacular in his last appearance. But I just don't think this is a good spot for him. If you look at him on the road this season, Chelsea, he has an ERA of 5.91. And in night games, I know that's one of those things we don't generally focus on, night versus day. But we have enough of a sample size here during the World Series where at night he has an ERA of more than 6. And now he has to take on Tyler Glass now, who has not lost a game since August 30th. He has allowed one run or less in 6 of his last 7, even though one of those appearances was in relief in the series against the Phillies. But I feel like the Dodgers are the right side here. I like Dodgers in the first 5.
Well, it feels like almost every metric says you shouldn't be trusting Max Scherzer here. Because, like, even no matter how you slice it, even for the regular season, he had a 5 ERA. So, like, there's very few, like, stats that back up backing Max Scherzer here, unless you're somebody who says, this is the postseason, regular seasons don't matter, and if anybody is seasoned in the postseason, it is Max Scherzer. Like, this moment's not going to be too big for him. Like, I don't see him, like, giving up a home run and be like, oh, darn, I'm going to, you know, just pout. No, like, we saw it last game that he's going to battle, he's going to stay in the game, and he's going to keep his head on straight, even if it's not his A-plus stuff. And this is what you get from veteran pitchers, is that they are good even when their stuff isn't working. And I think, you know, that's the craftiness of some of these old guys, is they say, hey, you know, this pitch isn't working, so we're going to go to this one. It's not going to be the prettiest outing, but we're going to get through it. So, you know, in my heart of hearts, I want Max Scherzer to have a good start here. But like you said, all the numbers just kind of go against him here. And I will say this. Tyler Glass now is probably not going to throw a complete game. Like, I say that, but the Dodgers' starting rotation has just been incredible. I also said that Yamamoto is not going to throw back-to-back, you know, complete games, is he? And then he does. But it hasn't really been the MO of Tyler Glass now. He's probably going to give him 6 strong innings. But we have seen when the Blue Jays get to the Dodgers' bullpen, they can absolutely score some runs like we saw in the first game. So this is still a very good Blue Jays lineup. And from a matchup standpoint, there are some Blue Jays starters that should be noted have good numbers against Tyler Glass now. So if you're looking to play some player props, Vladdy Jr. has faced Tyler Glass now a lot. 17 at-bats, he's hitting .353 with 4 walks, 1 home run, and 3 RBI. And we know how scorching hot Vladdy Jr. has been this postseason. So I think, you know, that's a good sign when your best hitter in your lineup has good numbers against the opposing starter. Should be noted, George Springer is hitting .462 off Tyler Glass now as well. And we know George Springer fully capable of going off in the postseason, and he's their leadoff guy. So I'm not saying that the Blue Jays don't stand a chance to score some runs. It's just, I'm worried about Max Scherzer giving up a few here. So yeah. I don't know what to expect. But here's the thing, like the price you're going to pay for the Dodgers here. They are minus 200 on the money line, total of 8 runs here. I was looking at the Dodgers in the first five, as much as it hurts my heart. First five run line is minus 125. Jenks, are you interested?
I found, what is the price that you found? I found minus 130 this morning on the first five. What is the price you got?
I was looking, it was last night, so maybe okay. It's changed. But first five run line, minus 125. So it's in the ballpark.
Yeah, let's do that. I just feel like that the Dodgers are going to get off to a hot start here. And also, it's, you know, it's a weird thing you can't quantify when you talk about a veteran who's been around for a long time. Like, Max was not supposed to be good last time out against the Mariners, but he was because he's a veteran. And those guys who have been at circumstance know how to sort of just summon the best of what they've had over the years in that moment. But I feel like that's tough to do in back-to-back outings at the age of 41. You know what I mean? In this spot, I just don't think it's a good spot for him, particularly with Glass now pitching the way he's pitched.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things where this Dodgers lineup is too good. And people have talked about this, is that the top of the Dodgers lineup has not even been that great.
Yeah.
And yet here the Dodgers stand in the World Series because they have other guys at the bottom of the lineup or, you know, the middle of the lineup, guys like Will Smith and Max Muncy and Kike Hernandez, who are kind of picking up the slack because it's been a relatively quiet World Series and postseason for guys like Mookie Betts. I know Ohtani had that one great game, but overall it hasn't been a great postseason for him. So I don't know. What about a total in this game, Jenks? Obviously, this is very dependent on what we see from Max Scherzer once again.
What?
A total of 8 runs. Like, I think I'm leaning towards the over in this one because, like, we've seen it. Nobody's touching Yamamoto. Like, that's just one of those things. When he's pitching, good luck to whatever lineup. But as I mentioned, the Blue Jays hitters do have some batters that, number one, have faced Tyler Glasnow quite a bit, because that's the other thing. These Blue Jays batters had not seen very much of Yamamoto. So he also had that going for him, and plus he had otherworldly stuff going on that night. So I do think we see some runs scored from both sides of the coin. So I think if I was leaning one direction, it would be toward the over. But I don't know. Eights, I wish it was a 7.
I know.
But I think I'm still leaning towards the over.
I liked it yesterday when I was working on this show. I put the total as 0.5. And so I was like, let's go over here. I like there to be at least one run in this game. I'm like, okay, Michael, maybe you correct that. I would go under, actually, just because if it's telling you, if the numbers are telling you that Scherzer will not go long in this game, that means he probably gets a quick hook, which is understandable. And so then the Blue Jays go to their pen, and they have a pretty solid pen. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to let him just go and let him eat up innings in this game. So that tells you he won't go long. Then the Jays go to their pen. There's always a possibility that the Dodgers' pen gets roughed up, which we saw in game one. But ultimately, I think Glasnow is the difference here. This feels like an under game to me.
I just think that the Dodgers' bullpen can give up some runs. And again, like, that's true. Have some Blue Jays batters that have hit Tyler Glasnow pretty well. So that's one side of the equation. I think the Blue Jays can score some runs here. And then I do think that the Dodgers are fully capable of going off, which is wild that in the NLCS, it feels like we had very few of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, this is an all-star lineup. Just Hall of Famers after Hall of Famers. And we don't see these, like, crooked numbers. Like, the Blue Jays are actually averaging more runs per game this postseason than the Dodgers. So maybe we're due for one of those games from the Dodgers. I feel like this could be it.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. I also like the Dodgers on the run line. You know me, I'll look at Dodgers minus one if I can find that, but I feel like this could be one of those games where the Dodgers just take control of this series, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, LA's going to win this thing.
I just also rather trust Tyler Glasnow than, like, whatever's coming in the bullpen.
Yeah,
so I think first five's the way to go for me, if you like the Dodgers. All right, coming up next, time to revisit some of the biggest headlines of the weekend, including Drake May, the prince that's promised in New England. We'll talk about his amazing performance next here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right. We're off. We're rolling. We're caffeinated. And we're about to have some big conversations on what happened over the weekend in the National Football League. Maybe it's an overreaction Monday, but listen for yourself and you can call it an overreaction if you believe that fits the bill. Because, Jenks, we're about to talk about what, I almost said Mac Jones, Drake May has been doing for the Patriots. But before we get in that discussion, I think we need to ask a question that is more all-encompassing in the fact that how long do you need to see consistency and great stats and great play from a young quarterback before you dub him like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Because I feel like we have kind of seen this story before where we've seen a young quarterback have a stretch where he's looked really good and then either he gets hurt or he fizzles out. Like we've seen this with like CJ Stroud where, you know, he comes busting up into the league and looks amazing and everybody says, oh man, look at the future of the Texans, and CJ Stroud is going to be one of those perennial contenders for MVP. And it just hasn't been the case. And I understand some of that is not his own fault. He's playing behind a terrible offensive line. But how much time do you think we need to give these quarterbacks before we like decide on like, hey, this is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, that is one hell of a question. It's tough.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the most fascinating questions in the National Football League. It does not cease to amaze me, because look at where we are, where you have a guy like CJ Stroud, for example, just gangbusters his rookie season, has maybe regressed somewhat. He doesn't have a great offensive line, gets sacked all the time, but still very good, not quite what we saw. Then you have someone like Drake May, who looks to be all world. He looks like he is the next great quarterback in the National Football League, I think. But then you would have said that about Jaden Daniels last year. I still think he's there, but he's banged up. Then you have guys like Geno Smith, like Sam Darnold, like Baker Mayfield. They were left for dead. And now here they are being franchise quarterbacks, getting paid, being some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Geno has dropped off. But all that is to say, it's really hard to say. You know, you think you know, and then in a season you don't. Playing quarterback in the National Football League is the hardest position on the planet. It's not close. That's why when you have 32 teams, there are not 32 great starting quarterbacks in the world. for the NFL. So I think this question is so interesting because there's really no definitive answer. So when you ask about Drake May, I think he's the next great thing. He looks to be that way. But also, remember Mac Jones? You know, we were saying that about him at one time. I think Drake May is different. If you look at the numbers, if you look at what he's doing, I think he's different. At the same time, I'm always like, you just never know.
Right. I think there is a hesitancy there because we have seen this story so many other times.
Right.
And I do think it's crazy to me that, like, the quarterback position is dependent on so many other things. Like, there was a great interview that Tom Brady had on the Colin Cowherd show where Colin came in with, like, this question that was very pointy. He was like, I have a hypothesis that quarterbacks deserve a year and a half. And Tom Brady was like, no, like, that's not it. It's so dependent on the system. It's so dependent on the guys around him. Does he have somebody good to learn from? Do they have somebody who can go with a young quarterback into the film room and actually give him insight? Because this actual conversation was about Caleb Williams, and we know that he wasn't getting a whole lot of help his first season. So I think it was good that Tom Brady provided, like, some nuance to this conversation and that it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. And
right.
also, like, scheme matters, fit matters, the team around him matters. And so sometimes we see these quarterbacks who aren't drafted as high go to good teams and they sit and they wait behind, you know, a veteran quarterback. Like, well, look at what we saw from Jordan Love last night. And, you know, in his career where he has been a very good quarterback, but he had to sit and wait and watch, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and he had to sit around and, you know, take notes while some of these other guys are thrown into the mix their rookie season. And even though it's probably nice for them to say, hey, I get a chance right off the bat, sometimes it helps to wait and watch. So it's just, there are so many factors that depend on it. Then it's like the mental toughness that it takes to overcome adversity. Because, like, over the weekend, there was that great interview from Justin Fields where we talked about this last week, where sometimes I think it actually helps some of these quarterbacks in the long run to have some metal and have some, you know, experience with dealing with, like, haters, even from your own team and your own ownership, to make you stronger in the long run. Because how many reclamation stories have we seen? We've seen Daniel Jones. We've seen Sam Darnold. We've seen Baker Mayfield, to where it just feels like determining a great quarterback, I don't know, it is just such a tough thing.
Well, and also, there are factors that you... that are tough to account for. Like, what about scheme?
Right.
What about coaching? What about organization? Those things are massive. If you have an offensive coordinator that doesn't work well with you, then it can be a disaster. If you have an organization like the Jets, like, I'm not saying that Justin Fields is a top-tier quarterback. What I am saying is, historically, if you're going to play for the New York Jets at quarterback, you're going to have a much harder time succeeding than you would have, you know, if you had been drafted or traded to a different organization. So that becomes a factor as well. And those are things you can't control, right? So sometimes you'll see a guy get away from a certain organization. You're like, oh my God, look at this. This guy's so much better. It's like, yeah, he got out of a toxic environment, which can affect any person at any position in the National Football League. And that's something you can't really control as well. You know, sometimes a guy will leave and then they blossom into the person they were supposed to be because they got out of a situation that was not beneficial to their talents. And the thing is, we see this over and over and over in the NFL. Why? Because the bad teams are the bad teams and they're always drafting these quarterbacks because they have the draft position. So it's just this vicious cycle again and again and again. It's like, you're a bad team. You draft a quarterback. He becomes bad. You discard him. And then you go through it again and again and over and over.
Yeah, are you just describing the Browns?
Essentially, yes. Like. That's been, it's like, we're bad, we need a quarterback. We're bad, we need a quarterback. We're bad, we need a quarterback. It's like, yep, you're a Browns fan.
This year, we're going to have five quarterbacks on the roster. We'll just kind of see how it goes. And then we're going to trade our best one to the Bengals. So,
right.
Nice job, Browns.
And that guy's going to be 50, you know? Like, only the Browns.
Only the Browns, sponsored by Dude Wipes. All right, Jenks. So this is a long roundabout way to get at our point of,
okay,
hey, Drake May has been very, very good this year. 15 touchdowns to only 3 picks, over 200 or 2,000 yards passing already, 4th in the NFL. The Patriots are 6-2, and another dominant performance over the weekend over the Browns as the Patriots win 32-13. So can we trust Drake May moving forward? I think as bettors, that's mm-hmm. the main question is that
right.
can we trust this quarterback in the postseason? Can we trust him to be good week in, week out? And so far, I feel like there's a lot of ammo in the argument that says, hey, I think we can trust him.
I think there is. And if you just look at how he plays, it's not just winning. I know that some people don't believe mm-hmm. that, you know, if you just win, then that means you're a good quarterback. You can debate that all you want. But if you look at what he's doing, I mean, he's completing more than 75% of his passes. He has 15 touchdowns. He has 3 picks. But more than that, it's his deep ball. He throws an incredible mm-hmm. deep ball. If there is a pass of 20 yards or more, he's completing those passes at a 75% clip or more. So not only are you completing passes at a high rate, you're going downfield. You're completing explosive plays. So that really is a metric that tells you that this guy is generating a ton of offense and not just sort of fooling the stat line, if you will. Because you can look at stats and say, oh, this guy had a great game. It's like, but did he perform in high, you know, high leverage circumstances? Did he get it done on third down? Is he able to throw it deep? Drake May is able to do that. And I think that's why so many people are excited about what they're seeing from him. Patriots are so much better than I anticipated, and he is largely the reason for that.
Yeah, the eye test still matters, at mm-hmm. least in my opinion. Because, like, we talk about this, like, for stats and stuff, like, Kirk Cousins had statistically had some really great seasons, and he's made a lot of money. But, like, he can yes. put up the same stat line as, like, Josh Allen. You're like, these two quarterbacks are not the same. You understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so when you watch Drake May throw the football, you're like, wow, that's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
So even if he's not completely consistent this year, and it should be noted that no matter how he finishes the year, like, he is still a young quarterback. And he can still get better, and he's still surrounded by a great team. So maybe he doesn't have to put up these great numbers week in and week out. He just has been. But also, it feels like a time of, like, upheaval almost in the AFC, where mm-hmm. maybe we'll be standing here at the end of January and be like, well, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again. But, like, other than the Chiefs, we have, like, the Colts, who
yeah.
really haven't proven it in the postseason. Like, they've been great in the regular season. But, like, that's my question for the Patriots, is that I think it's really tough to go from, like a bad or a middling team to mm-hmm. a great team. But, like, it's even harder to go from that bad team to, like, a Super Bowl winning team. Like,
right.
sometimes it takes more than a year. So I
yes.
wonder if that's going to be this year for the Patriots, where they have a great regular season, but maybe they don't go that far in the postseason. But let me ask you, like, do you think this is a Patriots team that can make a run in the postseason?
I think they're coached really well. I think that's another thing that makes me pretty high on the Patriots to a point. But they're similar to the Commanders last year, right, where they've got a quarterback playing out of his mind. Everyone's on the same page. They're winning at a rate at which is much greater than we anticipated. But also, this was a team that won 4 games a year ago. And not to say you can't sort of mm-hmm. make that jump. Washington did it last year. But when you do that, there tends to be sort of a step back that you have to make in the process. Like, it's really hard to go from winning 4 games to winning at all or being a threat. And it does happen from time to time. But ultimately what happens is you sort of catch lightning in a bottle, and then the issues that you have become more obvious once you take on those top-tier teams like a Chiefs team mm-hmm. or a Bills team or the Colts now at this point. And I kind of think that's what we'll see here. But at the same time, when you're well-coached and you got a franchise quarterback and you have momentum and everyone's on the same page and the culture is right, you can beat a lot of teams. So I don't think they can make a deep run, but they're going to be a dangerous team to play.
Well, all that being said, like, the Commanders did make it to the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you look at the Patriots right now, and there is still some betting value in New England at 14-1 to win the AFC. Because think about it. Like, if they just make it there, you have one side of the coin at 14-1. And I think this is a really good team. And again, like, some of these other teams really haven't proven it in the postseason either. So I do like the Patriots as a value play in the AFC. All right, got to get to break. Hour 3 is next. We'll relive all the big takeaways from Sunday Night Football next on The Daily Tip.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.